Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied unto thee, from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Congregation, we will begin this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 188, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 188, we sing 1, 3, and 4. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in Psalm 22, and we will read the first 21 verses. Psalm 22, verse 1 through 21. But first we will read from the Belgic Confession, Article 21. The satisfaction of Christ, our only High Priest, for us. We believe that Jesus Christ is ordained with an oath to be an everlasting High Priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that he hath presented himself on our behalf before the Father to appease his wrath by his full satisfaction, by offering himself on the tree of the cross and pouring out his precious blood to purge away our sins, as the prophets had foretold. For it is written, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and numbered with the transgressors, and condemned by Pontius Pilate as a malefactor, though he had first declared him innocent. Therefore, he restored that which he took not away, and suffered the just for the unjust, as well in his body as in his soul, feeling the terrible punishment which our sins had merited, insomuch that his sweat became like unto drops of blood falling on the ground. He called out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And hath suffered all this for the remission of our sins. Wherefore we justly say with the Apostle Paul that we know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We count all things but loss and dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose wounds we find all manner of consolation. Neither is it necessary to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice, once offered, by which believers are made perfect forever. This is also the reason why he was called by the angel of God, Jesus, that is to say, Savior, because he should save his people from their sins. We mentioned to you Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns thus far.
Let us try to ask the Lord for his help and indispensable blessing. Almighty and all-knowing Lord, thou whom dwellest in the heavens, and whose eyes run to and fro throughout the whole world, and who seeth us here in thy house, or listening along in the midst of a week that is called a week of preparation for the coming Sabbath day, when thy table, the Lord willing, may be administered in our midst, and it may be testified by broken bread and shed wine, the broken body and shed blood of Christ, and to a complete atonement and remission of sins. Lord, now it is so indispensable that we may become a partaker of that blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin. And now we cannot miss that Lord, that as a helpless, we may cry for thy help. Make haste, O my God, to deliver. Make haste to my rescue. For Lord, there is a people that cannot deliver themselves anymore, and that cannot help themselves anymore, and that cannot rescue themselves anymore from the hand of the unicorn, from the prince of darkness. But that need thy help. Lord, wilt thou grant that people in this evening a token of thy favor, to show that there is laid a help upon one that is mighty. Help not in man, for in us there is no strength and help against that great multitude of bulls of Bashan and of the wolves and of the enemies that surround and attack. But may our help, as we confessed at the beginning of this hour, be in thy name, was made heaven and earth, and upholdeth all things, in order to gather unto thyself a people that must be saved. My Lord, now we are still in the land of the living, in the acceptable time, and thou art so great that thou wilt come unto us with thy word and testimony. to testify what is necessary, to testify what thou hast in store for a people that cannot help themselves anymore, and to testify how that thou now makest a people helpless and hopeless in self to open their eye for thee, that we may receive hope in God. Lord, may we then be given for the first time, O by renewal, to lift our eyes unto thee, and that we in this evening may be as servants watching their master's hand, and handmaiden by their mistress stand so to the Lord, our eyes we raise until his mercy he displays. Lord, wilt thou then come down graciously with thy favor and dwell among us in thy love? Will thou go through the rows and touch the hearts of young and old, and that those that are yet strange of that life of grace, that they may be given a hastening for their life's sake, and that right hastening is a cry, Lord, wilt thou haste unto me? For then we must learn that it can only come from thy side, and that the more we haste, the further we bring ourselves away from thee. But when thou wilt haste and come down, thou wilt bring everything along and grant a full salvation in him, in Christ, who had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who was forsaken by God and man, in order that sinners be never forsaken, but may learn to know him, for that is life eternal. To know thee and Christ whom thou hast sent, Lord, wilt thou then graciously make room for him in the life of those that are yet strange of it, but also in the life of those restless ones who cannot give themselves a name, who sit here with fear and trembling, in the light of thy table that be administered coming Sabbath day, who stand outside and yet cannot miss thee anymore. All we ask of thee, encourage and comfort and give what cannot be missed. One word, one token, one crumb from that heavenly bread that will give such a taste in the soul that we are spoiled for the things of time and sense. And Lord, remember then thy people, maybe those that must say, and it needs to be renewed, for it is so quiet in my soul, and it has already been so long ago that the Lord has spoken to my soul. Lord, may out of their heart also ascend that cry, make haste, O my God, to deliver. Make haste. And that in deep need for help we may implore thee, and that in the life of thy people it may be renewed, and they be led further in the mysteries of salvation, Lord, wilt thou be with the sick and the needy. Also in the midst of this flock, thou knowest everything, among young and old. Give healing and strength, but above all, in all the weakness that cry unto thee, have mercy on me, according to thy loving kindness. Wilt thou bless all the labors that are awaiting thy blessing in the midst of the congregation and the denomination. Lord, where all things are known to thee, grant the office bearers in this flock what they need, and I unto thee honesty and love towards the flock, to deal honestly with the souls entrusted, and of which thou one day wilt ask each of us an account. Wilt thou remember our denomination, thy servants, the theological school, an empty school, no students, but one instructor left. And our Lord, what dost thou have to say to us? We beseech thee, turn not thy face away, but turn thou unto us in mercy and have compassion on us. And could it be, wilt thou gladden us? Also in this season, with man called and thrusted out by thee, and with instructors in our school to instruct, Lord, wilt thou remember the labors in the mission field, with the team, the board, and the administrator. We ask, Lord, give them also wisdom and love, and that it may be noticed in the mission field, where thy servants may labor, that it may be noticed that it is Israel's God who is the same, in north and south, in east and west. Bless the labors in our school, in our care home, the care for the souls among young and old. Oh, we beseech thee, wilt thou not leave thyself without witness? And may we also ask that for this evening, help thy servant. He is but a man, but Lord, our eyes be unto thee, that thou would graciously help us. Take reasons out of thyself, and not out of us, for then thou must pass us by. Return thou unto us in mercy, and may it be good in thy house. Thy servants cannot do it with the past either, but wilt thou in this present renew, and grant what cannot be missed, we ask, in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. While your collection be received and the Lord bless thee and thy gifts, we will sing together from Psalter 47, the stanza 6 through 10. Oh, let thy strength and presence cheer, for trouble and distress are near. Be thou not far away from me. I have no source of help but thee. 6 through 10 of Psalter 47. We live, beloved congregation, in a week of preparation. And we all know what that is. Then we need to examine, not someone else, for let's be honest, the danger is always there. And the devil likes that if we do that. Because if we are busy with someone else, then he knows one thing for sure, that we are not busy with our own soul. And that is now exactly what it is about in a week of preparation. Examine yourself, the scripture says, whether you are in the faith. An examination of the heart, and as the form says, of the life, both things are necessary. An examination, not whether I believe that ever anything happened in my life. Oh, I don't say that is not important. But if I believe that something happened, I can still deceive myself. But has the Lord ever spoken to the soul? And has the Lord ever opened our eyes for the way of salvation outside of self? For you will agree that that is necessary to, with right and fruit, sit at the table of the Lord. Oh, and then there can be many tonight that have no church right. Our children and young people, they probably say, what am I then doing here? Well, I'm glad you are here, because I hope that then the Lord will speak tonight to your soul and bring you in the right place, as we all need. And others who do have a church right, but do not know about a divine right in their life. And they might wonder this evening too, what am I then doing here? Well, then I hope that the Lord may teach you as well something of what we hope to consider this evening. And those that may not deny what the Lord has done in the past, and maybe even how that the Lord has brought them at this table, and nothing can erase that from their mind and memory. And yet it is so quiet in the soul, and the Lord holds himself so still, maybe days without number. And when you get house visitation and they ask the question, when is it now for the last time? Not that the text came in your mind, no. But that the Lord spoke to your heart by word and spirit. That we must bow the head in shame and say, ach, that is already so long ago. That we then in this evening may together look unto him whom dwells in the heavens, and cry unto him for help and strength. Will we consider that with the help of the Lord and awaiting his blessing, God's word for this evening, how it can be found in our scripture reading, Psalm 22, and thereof, verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. See, there it comes from. Not that I help myself, not that we help one another, but that the Lord will haste to our help. And then we write under this text, a cry for help in great need. Now then we consider in the first place a great need, in the second place an urgent cry, And in the third place, a precious help. Cry for help in great need. So the great need, an urgent cry, and a precious help. In the Psalms, beloved, and I've said that more often in your midst, also in the past, and to repeat things I hope you won't forget, in the Psalms, you look God's people in the heart, that you see what goes on in the soul of God's church. And even if God's people would only have the Psalms, then they would still read everything that goes on in the soul. David, the man after God's heart, called by the Lord personally, but also to the office of king, has written this psalm by the light of God's Spirit in a time of great need. And yet, it is in this psalm, not in the first place, about David himself. That is the reason that we call Psalm 22 a so-called messianic psalm. Oh yeah, all the psalms speak about Christ. Martin Luther, the reformer, has once said, "Dig as deep in the psalms until you find Christ." Yet there is a difference between psalms that speak indirectly about Christ and psalms that speak directly about Christ, the so-called indirect and direct messianic psalms. The indirect messianic psalms, there it is in the first place about David, and behind David we may then see Christ. But in the direct messianic psalms, it is in the first place about Christ, then the poets may prophetically speak about the person and the work of Christ. And David in those psalms is not in his circumstance in the foreground. No, he is in the background. Now, so there are direct messianic psalms that speak about Christmas. There is, for example, Psalm 2 and Psalm 40. "I come to do thy will. In the volume of thy book it is written of me." There are direct messianic psalms that speak about Easter. For example, Psalm 118, speaking about the stone that was rejected, became the cornerstone. There are psalms that speak about ascension, Psalm 47, 68, 110, "Sit at my right hand until I shall have made thy enemies thy footstool." But there are also direct messianic psalms that speak about the passion, the suffering, and death of Christ. Psalm 69 and 88 and 109, but also Psalm 22, where David, in the mirror of his own life, may prophetically see Christ. Because David himself could not say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" David could not say, "I am a worm and no man." David could not say, "They parted my garment and over my vesture they casted lots." David, he could not say, "My tongue cleaveth to my jaw." No, it is about Christ in this psalm. When you read the psalm attentively, then you see that the first 18 verses speak about the deep misery and need And the verses 19 to 21 speak and cry for the great deliverance, and that in the last part of the psalm there may be spoken about that gratitude, about that fruit in the life of David, the fruit in the life of Israel, the fruit in the life of the nations far away. So this psalm is actually then also a psalm that speaks about the work in the mission field and the work of God's Spirit, so that even the heathen lands and hostile peoples are included, and the ends of the world will remember and turn unto the Lord and worship Him. But that is not where it starts with in the psalm. That is also not what it starts with in the life of God's people. God, the Bible says, is a God of order. Why, friends, is there often so much confusion in the churches? Because many people do not think that God is a God of order, but in the meantime, then they have scratched that text out of the Bible. They says, "No, yeah, what the one learns at first, that someone else learns as last in their life." But then God would work against Himself. No, those three things, although necessary to learn the entire life, are also in this order: misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And David experiences that time and again. And when you ask him in this psalm, "David, can you now explain out of your own life something of these three things?" And the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper says that too, that something of those three things are necessary to be known, right? And then David can explain that. Okay, read that too. We now received a question this evening. Can you now speak out of your life? No, then it is not about that you can see much and that you can speak about high things and deep things. But can we then speak about true things? Things that you would never be able to forget, and what you can wake people up for. And when you wake them up in the middle of the night and you ask them the question, then they don't say, "Oh, I wrote it down somewhere. Let me look that up now." I don't say that's then so lively when they speak about it, but then they can speak about it. Now David does the same in our text, how he out of the need of his heart cries unto the Lord, "But be not thou far from me." But it starts, and it is not the first time that we read that word, and you know the word "but" is often used in a negative way. Children, you know that. Your father says something, "You need to do this." Your mother says, "Do you want to do that for me?" Or your teacher in school says that you need to do some work. And then sometimes it comes out, "Yeah, but." But then it is a negative "but." A "but" that contradicts. But here, it is a "but" not of unbelief. No, it is a "but" of faith. It's the fourth time already that we read that. You read it in verse 3. "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." In verse 6, "But I am a worm and no man." Verse 9, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb." "But be thou not far from me" in our text. When we hear Christ speak about the Lord, about Himself, and unto the Lord, "I am a worm and no man," but also, "but be not thou," a cry from Christ unto His Father. And behind that, we see David in his own circumstance. And what is then that circumstance? Well, David had to flee for King Saul. King Saul, you know, children, what happened? But the women in Jerusalem, they sang together, Saul had slain his thousands, but David had slain his 10,000. And then David had to flee because Saul, in jealousy, was after him to kill him so that David would never sit on the throne of Israel. And now David in Psalm 22 is in the wilderness of Maon. And did many people join him? Ach no, David, he was there only with a few of the faithful. And in the meantime, he was surrounded by the enemies that enclosed him closer and closer, that had surrounded him and came nearer and nearer unto him. He speaks about the bulls of Bashan. He speaks about the lions. He speaks about the dogs. We would say here in Ontario, a pack of coyotes that do the same, right? When they have a prey, they surround the prey and they come closer and closer until they jump on the prey. Now, that's now what the soldiers of Saul did with David. And if not the Lord would arise, it was a hopeless case for David. And did David have then that deliverance in his pocket? Could David say, yeah, but no worries, people, because the Lord will know. David must say in this psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He must say in verse 11, be not far from me. And here in verse 19, be not far from me. Because David was not the man that always had it and that always could speak about it. David had those moments here in the wilderness too, that he could not do with anything that he had received in the past. And then it seemed as if the Lord was so far from him. And maybe there is a people this evening that can relate to that. So far from me, that he could not experience what he says in verse 5 about his fathers. They cried unto thee, and they trusted in thee, and thou didst deliver them. But David could not reach that tone of faith. David, oh, it was so dark in his life. And yet, and there lies the wonder. And there lies also the difference between the hypocrite and David. What does now David do in his need? What does he now do in his great need? He poured out his heart before the Lord. He did not put man to his trust. He did not take flesh to his arm. But David, in his missing life, in his need, laid his needs before the Lord. Oh, the enemies laugh him to scorn, we read. And he describes it all in the psalm, how dark it is in his life, and how dangerous his situation is, and how hopeless in himself, and how helpless he feels in himself. And if not the Lord will arise, then it was for sure done. And you know, my beloved, then David could not work with what had happened in the past. And then David could not say, yeah, but I'm a child of God. And then David could not say, yeah, but I know what the Lord has done in my life, and he will never forsake the works of his own hands, so no worries. No, David knew, if not the Lord will arise, and I have to perish. And how is now David under all these needs? When he feels himself forsaken by the Lord. No, not that he is forsaken by the Lord. Because even the most wicked one on earth, and don't point to Putin then. Or a little closer to home. Because where now grace may be given, and when our grace may be an exercise, then we may say, experience, most wicked one stands here. And then you say, the most wicked one sits here. The most wicked one on earth cannot say that he is utterly forsaken by the Lord. That is in outer darkness, but here on earth, in his common grace, the Lord still upholds and cares. But spiritually, David fell the Lord so far, and he had to examine himself, what is the cause of it. David could not point to Saul. David could not blame Saul. David could not point to the devil and blame the devil. David could not point to the Lord and blame the Lord. No, David could only examine himself. Lord, see if there is a wicked way and lead me on the way everlasting. And in his need, he could only cry unto the Lord, but be not thou far from me, O Lord. How is he under it? And the Lord seems so far. And when David says, and I pray, but the Lord doesn't answer, maybe also a thing you can relate to. Ah, sometimes you visit old people. And you point them to the Lord and you point them to the one thing needful, and then they say, yeah, I pray every day about it, but that's not the right but, hey. Because actually we say that, yeah, but no, yeah, the Lord didn't give it me, so I can't help it either. I did my best. Instead of examining myself, seeking the cause in myself. How is David now under these circumstances? Well, then the spiritual enemies come. Not only the temporal enemies, Saul and his army, also the spiritual enemies. And the people this evening in this week of preparation can also relate to it, because it seems that the devil is never that hard and that busy working than in a week of preparation. When the devil assaults and says, you a child of God, David? You on the throne of Israel? Man, nothing will come from it. You deceive yourself. You're all mistaken. And when the many bulls of Bashan come, you think that the Lord started his work. Why is it then so dark? Why is the Lord then so far away? Because never anything happened. And then with the light of the table, then the devil says, do you think that you have a right to the table? Well, you better draw your conclusion, and you better abstain, or you better stay home. And then the devil comes like bulls of Bashan, and it likes as if they jump the most on them with regards to the table, those tender souls. And he says, don't you even think about it. Because the Lord's table is for only the exercised children of God. Well, if that be true, then the disciples in the last Passover would not have been at the Lord's table either. Because what did they now know about Christ? Yeah, they know about his prophetic office. And they knew that Christ had spoken about his priestly office. But how much did they understand of that in their life? They all said that won't happen unto thee. And they all fled. And yet there was love and a drawing unto him, and Christ had revealed himself unto them. So when the devil always tries to attack in the weakest spot in the life of God's children. And now David, in his great need, he may be given to look away from his own need unto Christ. Because David can sometimes feel as if the Lord has forsaken him and is far from him. But Christ has experienced that in the deepest depth on Calvary's Hill, when he hung there on the cross. And when in the fourth word on the cross, he could not even mention the name of his Father anymore, but had to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When those many bulls of Bashan, and when those many dogs and those lions gaped up their mouths against him. Ah, if the Lord wants to have thee, come down from the cross and deliver thyself, and we will believe in thee. David may look away from self to Christ in the deepest suffering that started already in Gethsemane, where he received the cup of suffering, that continued in Gabbatha when he was smitten and where he was scourged and where he was crowned with thorns, and that continued on Calvary's hill, and thus he finished all the work the Lord has given him. From a descent into hell, in the hellish agony and pain, and forsakenness by God and man, unto ascension into heaven. You understand it. David, in the application, learned something of it too, through the depth. The Lord works in the life of his people, that they may be heard and answered. David's urgent cry, we see that so clearly. But be not thou far from me. That is how it seemed. That wasn't always the case. No. David knew about different times. In Psalm 18, he could sing it. With my God, I will run through a troop and jump over a wall. And Paul, he could say it in the Romans, if God be for us, who will be against us? But here, David could not see that for his own life. And why is that? What was now the purpose? What does the form say? That God did not spare his only begotten Son, but delivered him up for us all, the church may say. So that David may learn to look unto him and be comforted in his wounds and suffering. His hands and feet were pierced, so that David would be freed from it. What was now the purpose that David had to go through this deep way? That he would be instructed and that he would be exercised. With an Asaph later would learn, whom have I, Lord, in heaven but thee? Beside thee there is none on earth. What is now the purpose? That there may now come room for Christ, about whom David spoke here, and that time and again, be not thou far from me. How is that by nature, friends? Ah, when we go back to paradise, then God was not far from us. And we were not far from the Lord because we were made good and after God's image. And there was that sweet communion, Lord, with thee, Adam and Eve. If they would have that psalter, they could sing that every day. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee I constantly abide. And thus it should have been and remained forever. If not, Adam and Eve would have eaten from the forbidden fruit and would have turned away from the Lord in order never to return. Be not thou far from me. You know how it is by nature. Lo, they that wander far from thee will perish in their misery. You know how it is by nature. God is not far from us. No, the apostle said that on the missionary journeys. Though he is not far from each of us, God is not far from us, but we are so far from God. We ran away like a prodigal son, far away from the Father, in order never to return. That's our picture by nature. And it would be no wonder if the Lord would have told us, you wander far from me, and now I will be far from you. Depart from me. But now David has learned, not only outwardly in God's common grace, but also in his particular grace, that the Lord is not far from him. And now the Lord is exercising David. That David is so often so far from the Lord. And why does now the Lord allow that in David's life? All those tribulations, all those trials, that David would be cast upon Christ. That David would learn to look away from self unto him, who was so near to his Father in the stillness of eternity, who was day by day the delight of his Father, Solomon says in the Proverbs, but whom the Father has appointed, whom will I send? And who said, I come to do thy will. And who has now left in the fullness of the time that heavenly place of glory and came on this earth. And here on Calvary's Hill, what we may commemorate in these weeks, and especially also the coming Sabbath day, by broken bread and shed wine, where the Lord turned himself so far from thee, from Christ. Oh, Christ could have asked for more than 12 legions of angels, but he did not, because then there would be no salvation. The bulls of Bashan and the dogs that came unto him, those enemies, I said, he calls Elijah, let us see whether Elijah comes to deliver him. And Christ said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But in that way he bruised Satan's head. In that way he could say it is finished. In that way it could become true. By broken bread and shed wine, to remember and believe that the body of Christ is broken and his blood is shed to a complete atonement. That way it could be true. That we may declare his name. Maybe not in words, but also in deeds. And now the Lord brings to his table as a poor, as a needy one. How? Be not thou far from me, O Lord, in the way that that may be experienced in their life by word and spirit. Because when now God's spirit opens the eyes, and children listen, young people listen, you're not too young for that. When now God's spirit opens the eyes, what do you then learn to see? And I hope that there may be that they may lay their heart beside it a little tonight, that they learn to see that distance between God and the soul. Not that God is far from me, but that I am far from him. That I have gone a whoring from him, the Bible says. That a great distance between God and my soul, that bridge is there, that I cannot bridge, because I made the bridge that breaks the heart by that love that is shed in the heart. That makes a sinner cry. That makes a sinner cry out unto the living God. That makes a sinner restless, longing, yearning, missing, seeking, searching, bowing the knees, opening the words, reading something. Oh, that we try to find it everywhere. That the distance be bridged like a ladder will be raised to bridge that distance. And yet the more I am busy with those things, the greater the distance becomes. The more work the Lord gives at the throne of grace, the farther it seems to be away, and the more I need to cry out, be not thou far from me. You hear, thou me.
Actually, there, those two words lie everything. Thou, of whom David said in the Sabbath, thou art holy. Of whom David experienced, he is so holy that he cannot have communion with sin. That he is so righteous that he cannot step over sin, but must punish it with temporal and eternal punishment. But thou art holy. No, David has not experienced what it says in its depth. I am a worm and no man. And yet David had those times. And God's children have those times that they must bow so low that they experience a little that everything that I am more than nothing. I'm too much. And what is now a worm, children? Maybe sometimes in a rainy day you see them come out of the ground. Do you nicely go around them? Or do you trample them and kill them? What's now a worm? One of the most despised little animals. I went out to learn that if the Lord has to do with me according to my sin, I must be despised and cast away like a worm. Be not, and yet be not thou, far. You know what that is? Be not thou for me. Thou so worthy, me so unworthy. But that is now with people whom the Lord invites at his table to taste that he is good. In their own unworthiness, who cannot miss the Lord anymore. Who may call upon his name, be not thou far from me, O Lord, that with the burden of transgression, humbled low, may make confession, that cannot bring themselves one step closer to the Lord, although they say, have a little patience, but that are now longing and crying, that the Lord, seeing I cannot come to him, I cannot bridge that breach, that the Lord will come and that the Lord will instruct and comfort the soul. The people that may bow their head, agreeing with who they are and what they deserve, owning their guilt, and yet, and there lies the wonder. When that is true, where do you find them? On their knees, in the inner room, crying unto the Lord whom their soul loveth, be not thou far from me. And why is that necessary also after receive grace? Because God's children are sometimes also not only far, but also afar. And then I think about those women that stand there afar off from the cross. The disciples had all fled. John and Mary had been sent away. Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. And the women could not help him. They stood afar off. And they did not dare and they could not come any closer. Maybe there is a people this evening that says that's my picture. I would not even dare to come to the Lord's table. Afar off, and yet, in Dutch they would say, zulke betrekking. We would say in English, such a longing in the soul on that one name that they have heard and for whom they have received the love. Be not thou far, because I am so afar, and I cannot come closer in myself. People that says, I cannot bring myself to the table. Lord, draw me out of the bench, and I will run after thee. Lord, bring me there. I have no feet to go. I'm like a Mephibosheth. But lift thou me up, and may I sit at the king's table when it pleases thee. And I want one thing more before we sing. Why does now David say,
Be not thou far from me. You know why that is? Because the more the Lord shows Christ, and the closer the Lord brings them to Christ. Yeah, what? Not the closer they learn to know themselves, but the further. Oh, the distance that I have made. When I now look at self, I must say, Lord, I can only agree that thou wilt never come my soul to deliver, that he would say away. But then David may ask that he will come, there lies the wonder, there lies the hope, there lies the help for such a people. Shall we sing first? 140. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirst my soul, O God, for thee. And the fourth, O why art thou cast down my soul? 1 and 4. My strength, haste thee to help me. See, David doesn't complain about the Lord. David was called upon the name of the Lord because the need is bound on his heart, and that love urges him to explain and to lay before the Lord his need and to cry that the Lord would come his soul to deliver, because David comes to the end. Saul and his soldiers are close by. His friends are gone. He is there all by himself, and nobody seems to care for him. The waves and billows roaring over his troubled soul are pouring, and who shall now deliver him? There is but one way left, just like Israel before the Red Sea children. You know that they were led out of Egypt and they could sing, and soon they stood before the Red Sea. And on the sides there were the mountains, and before them there were the waves, and behind them the enemies came. They could not escape. All enclosed. And what does the Lord then give them? That Moses may cry unto the Lord the way up. Open the way up. Opened. There's also needed. There is a difference there between to pray and to pray. But those are moments that the petitions go a little further than the roof, the ceiling, of which they may experience. They come before the throne of God and the Lamb. Oh, Lord. You see, that's the shortest word in the Bible that has but one letter. Oh. And that's not a dead complaint. There are people that sometimes mock with God's people. They say, oh, that is a people of O and R. But he sees something out of the need of his soul. There lies now all his need. And oh, it is as if he says, Lord, I call upon thy name. Haste, thee, make haste. You read that in the Psalms more often. In Psalm 40. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord. And in Psalm 70 you read it 2 or 3 times. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to my rescue. And here we read it. And in other places, for each day of the week you read it once. It's now necessary time and again. Make haste. That cannot be delayed. Make haste. That means, no, David is not forcing the Lord. He's not demanding the Lord. But he is kind of urging the Lord. Because of that precious help that he has experienced in the past. He cannot miss that now either. Make haste, O Lord, because I am in danger. And if thou wilt not come, then it is lost. But if thou wilt come, then Satan's head be bruised, and the enemies be defeated, and then my soul be delivered. See that the enemies say, the pious enemies, they say, if God wants to have you, he will find you. But then God's people, they have a need that is bound on their hearts. Make haste, why? Because their people cannot die as they are born. Maybe those ones tonight here. And death is bound on their heart. How must they go? Make haste, oh my God, to deliver me, my soul. And salvation requires haste. Yeah, my uncomforted friend, we also read, make haste for your life's sake. It's also true. To that we learn
that I cannot bring myself one step closer. But if now the Lord comes, what does now the bride sing about it? Then he comes skipping over the mountains and over the hills, hastening himself to his bride. That is what David longs for in our text. Oh Lord, oh my strength, haste thee to help me. And see, there you see that it becomes a personal matter in his life. Me. Be not thou far from me. If he cannot do it with someone else anymore. He cannot speak in general terms anymore. As long as we can speak in general terms and can say, yeah, now that is how God's people experience it. No, that's not what I ask for. How do you experience it? And I. That becomes so personal. Haste thee unto me. There you have the same, eh? Thou, me, thee, me. David knew and experienced that he stood in account with the Lord. Haste thee to help me. Needy and sorrowful to thee I cry, helpless in myself, but then to say, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And congregation, there lies the hope for a hopeless one in himself. There lies the help for a helpless one in himself. There lies the urge, and they cannot stop doing that. Haste thee to help me. You know what lies in that cry? Not unbelief, but in that cry for help there lies saving faith, refuge taking faith. Because how does now David call him? O Lord, O my strength, Lord, capital letters, that God that is now full of salvation in himself, that doesn't need a sinner, but that desires a sinner. The triune God in his eternal love, in Christ, in his redeeming love, by his Spirit, in his applying love. O Lord, the God of the covenant, he now from the stillness of eternity has made that covenant between him and Christ and has now included his entire church to be saved. Oh Lord, there lies a pleading ground, not in a cheap way, but in that refuge-taking faith. Oh Lord, a pleading ground in his name. You see David on the right place. He cannot plead on what happened. David doesn't say, yeah, but Lord, this happened and that happened in my life. And I hope you can't say that anymore either. And I hope that you cannot come to the Lord's table, people, with that anymore either. But that now is nothing left but this. Oh, Lord. There lies the pleading ground. What wilt thou now do with thy great name? O my strength. Then David experienced here already what King Jehoshaphat later would experience in us, is no strength against that great company. But our eyes are unto thee. O my strength. David's eyes unto the Lord. Toward the Lord are turning. And David may experience here already what Paul many years later would also experience. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's now why the Lord gave us table for. To strengthen that weak, often attacked faith. Oh, my strength. And there lies also a pleading out there. And David may say that, oh, then it cannot be different, or then his heart for a moment leaped. Then he may experience, and to whom shall we go? You see, there lies in the text such a precious line to what now the Lord wants to do at his table. Oh, my strength. How is that with you? How is that now with us? Or are you still unconverted? You still live for your own account, and don't you know about those things? Now then I hope you may turn into your inner room tonight and say, Lord, I've heard it tonight. Oh, Lord, thou art the same. That's what that name also means. Yesterday, today, and forever. Make haste to my rescue before it is too late. And then the Lord wants to use the means that we then also use the means. Blessed is the people. No, they do not come with their hands and the pockets full, but they may come. Oh, my strength. Then it becomes so personal. Not only me and my, but then he says, my strength. Then David may say, Lord, if I'm not mistaken, then thou hast given that in the past. But I cannot do it with that in the present. Wilt thou then renew it? Oh, my strength. In my weakness, blessed Zion, then his name be glorified, then he will receive the honor. One day there will come that eternal separation. They that wander far from him will perish in the misery. But then the church may experience what they learned here. But it is good for me to draw nigh to him. Amen. Almighty Lord, what lies in that word of thee, of thy word, what lies there in instruction, and what a wonder, and thou wilt open it, and when it may be explained, but Lord, will now thou now apply it. We acknowledge thee for thy help. We acknowledge thee for the opening of thy word. Forgive our sins. Go with us in the furtherance of this week. Bring us on thy Sabbath day in thy house. And the word and sacrament we ask. In the forgiveness of our sins for Christ's sake alone. Amen. 439. Stanza 4. All they who wander far from thee will perish in the misery. Thou hast destroyed the carnal hearted who from thy covenant way departed. But unto thee, my God, on high, it is good for me that I draw nigh. The fourth of 439. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.